Okay, moving on to Mishnah Gimel, Perek Zayin. So now the Mishnah, continuing off of the theme from the previous Mishnah, is going to actually just make a laundry list of things which are Aser in terms of planting, but are not actually going to be real Kalayim and Aser Behana. So it says the Mishnah the following, Elu Osir Velo Mekachim, these are things which is Aser to plant, Velo Mekachim, but they're not actually become Aser Behana as actual Kalayim. So it says the Mishnah number one, Mosar Chorban HaKerem. So here, this is referring to, if anyone remember back to the fourth parak of Mesechus Kalayim, the Mishnah there spoke of a case of a kerem, of a karachas, in the middle of a kerem. So there the Mishnah had explained that if, let's say you have your kerem, you have your vineyard, and there's a pretty solid space left open in the middle of the vineyard. So the Mishnah explained that if the space in the middle of your vineyard measured at least 16 by 16 amos, so then that's going to be considered a karachas, and it would be actually become mutter to plant in the karachas itself. It would be usher to plant within dalet amos of the vines themselves, but anywhere else in the karachas, it would be actually be mutter to plant. But the Mishnah then said, if the karachas is less than 16 amos, then it would be usher to plant in anywhere in the karachas. Even if it's 4 amos away from the vines, it's still going to be usher to plant in the karachas, anywhere in the karachas. So basically what our Mishnah is coming to teach us is that even though it's usher to plant in a karachas, that's less than 16 amos. That's less than 16 amos wide. Nonetheless, if one went ahead and did plant there, that would not actually make it kadosh. Would not become kilayim. That's case number one. Case number two: mosar mechol hakerem. So this actually refers to the case in also back in the fourth parak of kilayim and Mishnah Beis, in fact, where the Mishnah there discussed the case where let's say you have you have yourself a big field, you have your kerem. And you have a fence that surrounds the kerem, only that there is a giant gap from your last vine, your last row of vines, until the fence. So the Mishnah says that if the amount of space between your vines and your fence is at least 12 amos, so if it's 12 amos, then it's going to be completely mutter to plant anywhere in that space. But if, however, the space between your vines and the fence were less than 12 amos, it would be usher to plant there. And again, just like the din in the previous case, also that's another example where even though it's usher to plant there, again, the case of the Mechol HaKerem, where your fence is less than 12 amos away from the zera, away from the vines, nonetheless, it's going to be, even though it's usher to do so, it's going to become... it's not going to be usher in terms of kilayim. It's not going to be actually usher behana. Okay, in the next case, a case which we actually spoke about in the previous parak, mosar piske aris, in a case where, again, that was the scenario where you have on an aris, you have two different rows of vines growing. One of them was, you know, you have on one side of the aris, you have vines growing, and you have a big gap in the middle, and you have vines growing on the other side. So the Mishnah there said that as long as the gap is no more than 8 amos, so it's going to be usher to plant there. So because we assume that the two rows combine together. So says the Mishnah that in that scenario, again, the two rows combine together to make a kerem. But says the Mishnah that he says our Mishnah that if one were indeed to plant there, you do not affect it. You do not make it actual kilayim. Okay. And the last case is going to be another case where, which we saw also in the last parak, Moser Afifyaros. Again, that was a scenario where if a person was growing vines and he wanted to hang some vines on some of the tendrils of the vines on some sort of a frame that was on the ground. So instead of it, you know, the vines just extending naturally, they were hanging up over this frame. So the Mishnah had said that for sure it's also to plant underneath the frame if the vine is right on top of it, because then you're basically planting underneath the vine. But the Mishnah also said that if one were to plant underneath the if a person had intended on extending the vine to the rest of the frame, even if it's not extended there now, it's usher to plant underneath even the remaining part of the frame where the vine is not hanging over right now. So even though, says our Mishnah, even though it's usher to do so, nonetheless, if one went ahead and planted underneath that the remaining part of the frame where there was no vine actually growing on top of it right now, even though it's usher, nonetheless, that's also not going to be actually Mekadesh, it's not going to be actual Kalayim to be usher behana. But now the Mishnah, the safe of the Mishnah, is going to discuss the cases where, you know, the real problems where there's actual real kilayim. So case number one, aval Tachas Agefen, the Avodas Agefen, the Arba Amash Abakarim, or Elam Akacho. So one by one, let's just go through all the cases. Case number one, Aval Tachas Hagefen. So that simply means under any vine at all. So here's a scenario where you have your, let's say, a group of vines growing. And look, we know we generally, we give the vines, from the source of the vines, we give it, Kidei Avodasa, we give it six tfachim, in each direction from the vines to, that you're not allowed to plant. But let's say you have a scenario, we discussed this a couple of Mishnayos ago, you have a scenario where one of the vines actually extends beyond the six tfachim area. So even though it's beyond the six tfachim area, if it's actually underneath that vine, that's going to be 100% kelaim. So that's case number one. Va'avodas ha-gefen simply refers to, again, that's that six tfachim area. So anybody who plants within that six tfachim area, from around the vines, that's also going to be usher and going to be mekadesh. That's going to be mekadesh, and that's going to be really usher as real kelaim. It's usher b'hanah. And as well, the arba amos sheva kerem, and that's the halacha, of course, as we know, that in any kerem, you're not allowed to plant within 4 amos of the kerem. And if anybody does plant within 4 amos of the kerem, that's also going to be real kelaim. That's going to become hari el mekachos. That's going to be cases where there's going to be a real iser hanah. Okay, this next Mishnah is actually really quite fascinating. I'm actually really excited to get to it, and that's Mishnah Dalet. So the Mishnah here says something very fascinating. You know, here's a case where a guy says the Mishnah, "Hamisakech es gafno al gabi tu aso shel chavero." So let's say a person, not a very nice guy, he decides to not really pay too much attention to where his vine starts to grow, and his vine kind of is hanging over his neighbor's field. And now his vine is gonna, is starting to intermingle with the tvua, the other, crops of his neighbor. So says the Mishnah. Hari zekidesh v'chai b'achrayusa. So the Mishnah says, well, listen, when it comes to, in terms of kelayim, his neighbor's got no choice. But unfortunately, even though this guy, it was, wasn't really his fault, his neighbor, had his vines growing into his field. And now this guy, this neighbor, is going to lose his entire, he's going to lose his crops. Because at the end of the day, that's kelaim. Hari zekidesh. However, the Mishnah does, to save the guy a little bit, the Mishnah does says, v'chai b'achrayuso. However, since it wasn't, it's not the neighbor's fault. It was obviously the guy who owned the vines. The guy who let his vines grow into his neighbor's field. It's obviously his fault. So therefore, the Mishnah says, v'chai he's chai b'achrayus. He's responsible to compensate his neighbor for all the loss that he caused him by making his field, making his crop, asur b'hana. So it makes sense that he's going to have to pay him back for it. Okay, so it's not too bad, but nonetheless, so that's the halacha. But here's something very fascinating. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Ein Adam Mekadesh Davar She'enu Shalo. Says the Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, no, the Tanakhama is incorrect, that this scenario is simply not possible. It's since the tvua that was affected by this guy's vine wasn't his own, it's completely impossible for him to make that tvua become asur b'hana. So let's just think about this. Take a step back just to analyze that for just a second. So even though, practically speaking, there is kalayim, you have yourself a vine, you have yourself some other form of tvua, they're growing together. It's the same exact scenario as all the other cases of kalayim that we've been exposed to. So, but says Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, that nope, it's not kalayim. It's not kalayim. At why? Because ain't other mekadesh davarch ainu shalo. A person cannot cause something to become asur. That's not his. Okay, so to think about that concept for just a second, imagine the following case, and this might seem pretty pretty simple. Imagine you're walking down the street and you bump into your friend, and your friend is holding a nice cup of milk, and you decide you're holding yourself a nice piece of meat, and you go to your friend and you say, listen, I'm just letting you know that I'm really upset what you did. You did something not nice to me a few days ago, and I want to get back at you. So I'm gonna ruin your milk. And you with whatever reason why you decide you drop your own piece of meat into his cup of milk. Now no one is gonna tell you that. Well, at the end of the day, since it's not your milk, it's his milk. That just because you can't make his milk usher. No one seems to say that. It seems pretty clear that at the end of the day that's basar v'chalav, and just because it wasn't yours doesn't mean that it doesn't become usher. So it seems pretty strange that when it comes to kalayim, why would it be that ain adam, makadesh davarish ainu shalo, a person can't make something usher that's not his? Listen, the Tanakhama is reasonable. The Tanakhama says that he can make it usher, but obviously he's responsible to pay him back. That seems pretty reasonable. So why is it that when it comes to kalayim, according to Rabbi Yosef Rishimon, though, it doesn't work? It doesn't become usher b'hana? It seems pretty strange. So there are various explanations given by various sources. You know, the most simple explanation that's given by many of the Mefarshim is simply based on a pasuk. You know, the pasuk refers to a kalayim. It says, you know, the lashon that the pasuk uses is, you know, is karmacha. Is that, you know, the prohibition of planting kelayim is limited to your own kerem. It's a prohibition in your field. So that being the case, it's, you know, there's no way of establishing an iser kelayim in someone else's field. It's pretty that simple. And, you know, that's pretty reasonable, and that's a, you know, pretty simple answer. But there are other you know, reasons given as well, one of which, just to mention, is a reason that's given actually by Tosfos. Tosfos in Maseches Yevamos on Daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis. They actually say that inherent, in, if you look at and analyze a lot of the other Mishnayos and a lot of the other halachos in Kelayim, you'll notice that there's a common theme throughout Kelayim, that a lot of times the nature of whether or not something will or will not be considered Kelayim is actually based off of the owner's kavana. I mean, depending on what you intend to do with that, you know, with that type of seed, you know, what you want to do with that thing, that will determine whether or not we look at it as Kelayim or not. So Tosfos seems to extrapolate from there that we see as a general rule of thumb that there's a very strong relationship between, you know, the owner and based on his intentions and the ability to affect kelayim. So you know, as an extension of such an idea, we see that kelayim is really something which is limited to an owner and the owner's own relationship with his own kelayim and what he intends to do with it. So therefore, it doesn't seem reasonable for an owner to be able to affect someone else's kelayim when kelayim is really something which is limited to an owner and the owner's own perspective on his own vineyard. Okay, so that's Mishnah Daled.